7 through 9. Instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that we can come and just worship you this morning, that we can come and hear your word, that we can draw close to you. Holy Spirit, just open our ears and our eyes to hear and see what it is that you have called us to today, Lord, in our lives, God, and that we can really just be present in your presence. And God, I just pray your Holy Spirit will come and guide this time. In your name we pray. Amen. So, when I was reading this, one of the things that stood out to me, it also happened to stand out to P. Nate on Sunday, was the part where it talked about verse 7. Instead, we were like young children among you, just as nursing mothers care for her children. This can also be translated as gentle. Instead of being young children, it can also be translated as gentle. John Calvin says this. Actually, there's quite a bit of a debate between scholars on which word should be used. But I think when I read John Calvin's explanation, it kind of explains more of what Paul is saying about being like a child or being gentle. John Calvin says, whichever version is preferred, gentle or child or babe, however, there can be no doubt that Paul is describing his voluntary submission to them. And so you have this idea here, Paul is voluntarily submitting to them. He's not submitting to them as in his authority. Right? He's not coming in being like, I'm going to follow your ways, your rules, your laws in that sense. But he's submitting himself to them to be their person, to be their guide. It's that concept in scripture where it talks about husbands and wife being mutually submitting to one another, the body of Christ mutually submitting to one another. Right? This concept that Paul has that we are here to submit to each other, right? To serve each other, to take care of each other. To be there for each other, not to be just about ourselves, but to be about the other person's needs, right? And so that concept of being like a child, right? Now, we think of children and we don't really think of them as submitting very well, right? Like if you ever see a kid, I was with a friend last night for dinner and they were talking about their nephew and how their nephew, it's like 1 to 2, I don't know exactly, but quite young still, and he'll just, and she has kids, right? But her kids never did this. Just lay on the ground, not move, bloody murder screaming, and no matter what her brother or sister-in-law try to do, nothing gets this child to get up. And this is a little kid. You'd think you could just pick him up and move him along the way, but he screams so much, right? He screams so much that they just have to, wherever they are, at the store, at a restaurant, just let him scream it out on the floor and let it be. And so we don't naturally think of children willingly submitting their life to their parents, to their teachers, right? It takes some training. But in that concept of a child is gentle, which I know some parents might not agree with, but when you really see a child, they're gentle. Before they go to sleep, they want to cuddle, right? There's just something about a child. But then you see it's like a nursing mother cares for her children. Now, I know P. Nate talked about it being this beautiful, gentle thing, and I've never nursed any children, right? I'm not a mom, never gone through that. I have yet to have a friend tell me that nursing their children wasn't painful, that there wasn't sacrifice, that it wasn't hard, right? Either they don't talk about it or they tell me all these horror stories, and I'm sure there's great, beautiful stories. But here, a mother's willing to give that up, willing to give up sleep, willing to go through that pain and that suffering for the betterment of her child, right? It may not actually be this beautiful feeling during that time. It could be hard, but a mom's sacrifice for a child is not for her own benefit, but for her child's benefit. And so we see here in verse 7, Paul is talking about he came and he was willing to be gentle with them. He is willing to submit, be part of them, not to be a ruler, a dictator over top. And what he was doing was for them. He was willing to sacrifice, and there could be pain. There could be suffering along with that. But we actually get to see that Paul, I mean, as I read it, I really felt like Paul didn't see the sacrifice as a burden, right? He's not bashing them like, look what I did for you, right? He uses these tender words, right? His sacrifice for them was not a burden. He gave it out of love. I was thinking about when people are serving, right? Serving the church. And honestly, to be quite honest, I'm not sure how much of serving an SP is that much of a sacrifice compared to what Paul was doing, right? Paul left or some of our missionary friends. But it's still, you're having to give up your time. You have to give your life, finances, all of that. So there is a burden. But I wonder, when we're serving, can we actually say we're serving out of love? Is that really what we're doing? You know, and you can start to tell. You can start to tell who's doing it out of ritual and who's doing it out of the love for God. Not necessarily the love for SP, right? The main thing is, you're not going to be able to continually serve if it's not first and foremost for your love for God. But you also need to start loving the people you're serving. You know, I think it's very interesting how I have friends who are missionaries. I have lots of friends who are missionaries in different parts of the world. And the ones that come back with just joy, even though it's hard and they don't have enough money and their ACs don't work and it's 90, it's Fahrenheit, so it's like 40 plus degrees Celsius, right? Like, and it's just hard, but yet they love the people. Right, there's so much more joy that they come. And when I have friends that come back after a season, or they just really hate the country they're in, the people they're serving, there's not much joy when they talk about their work. It's mostly the hardships. You know, and I just wonder, what would life be like if we could really focus on loving God and loving the people we're serving and really working in our hearts not to see what we're doing as a burden, but a joy. You know, children's ministry is probably one of the greatest trials of your ability to serve without being recognized. You know, there are teachers who have been told, you're boring. Not to me. They don't dare say it to me for some reason. But I'll get teachers, the kids think I'm boring again. And you know what the truth is? They probably are a little boring if the kids are telling them, right? But we're not here to entertain them. Or very rarely, unless a parent's like, say thank you to your teachers, most kids are not going to say thank you out of their own will, right? They're being taught, which is part of development, right? Most of us probably wouldn't say thank you today if our parents and our teachers hadn't taught us to say thank you, right? So they're learning. You know, if you're in the back room with a baby room, there's going to be nothing that's going to be, no appreciation's going to come from those children. Right? And so I can tell those teachers that crave approval, because they don't last that long. They end up being some of the first to leave the ministry because the kids aren't just going to give it. So obviously I have to work on that and give it to people, and our parents are pretty good. They give that approval too. But it's a great test of your character of, are you doing this for recognition, or are you doing it for the love of God and the love of the kids? And when the sermons run long and the kids are going wild, trust me, those are the trial days, you know, and VeggieTales become our friends. But really, Paul did not do this for recognition. Paul did not serve this group of people. And he loves this group. Actually, he talks about how wonderful this church is, right? But here Paul is saying, I didn't come. What I'm doing was not a burden. I loved it. You know, and so really take a moment to think about what you're doing. You know, if you're not serving in any shape or form, I think maybe that's where you first have to stop and address your heart. Why are you not serving? Whether in this church, if you're from another church, in that church, in this city, what's holding you back from serving? But if you are serving, really assess what's going on. Why is it that you are finding this? There's no joy in that. Now, I'm not going to tell you if you have no joy, leave that ministry. Sometimes you do need to just suck it up. You know, you're not always going to find what you're doing pleasant and pleasurable and joyful, right? And we don't need to have that kind of culture where we just give up and walk away when we don't like it. You know, and yeah, sometimes your work, your job, what you're doing, your family can feel like a burden. But, you know, God reminds us that he came to lift that off, right? He came to lift it off. And so it's more of a time to really think about what's going on. Why do you have that weight on your shoulders that God doesn't want you to be having? We see that Paul gave his life for them. Now, he didn't physically die for them. So when he's talking about Paul gave his life for them, he served them. They became part of his life, right? He invested in them. It wasn't a side job, right? It wasn't a 1 hour a week, here you go. But he poured his life into them while he was there. And he didn't forget about them. It wasn't like, all right, that chapter is closed. And now I'm moving on to something else. You know, he did move on. He did go and minister other places as God called him to. But here we see he's writing them. He's remembering them. He left kind of a piece of them. He loved them so much that he wanted to be with them. You know, when I left teaching, some people are like, oh, the school's going to miss you so much. And my reaction at the time was, I hope not. Like, I mean, okay, that sounds terrible. But what I meant was, I hope that the next person that comes in will be able to leave an impact. But, you know, like last night, I was on my way home from that dinner, and I ran into a former student, you know, and she's like, hey, can we go out for dinner, right? And I'm like, do you have my number? She's like, of course I have your number. And so, this is a student I actually meet up probably about once a year with, right? She'll reach out when she needs to meet up. And so we have a relationship outside of my teaching days. You know, and so as much as like that chapter of the school is closed, you know, I did pour 8 years of my life. You can't close your door fully on that, you know? And so it's kind of that similarity. We're great. I'm not with her all the time, but it's great to go back and talk and be there. You know, I have students that will message me, email me, you know, when their parents are being tested for cancer, you know, and they still reach out. And so you don't leave completely that chapter behind. And I feel like that's kind of what Paul is like. I didn't leave you. I gave my life for you. I still give my life. But there's also another aspect, right? When you actually start reading, when I was reflecting on chapter 1 and 2, so far of chapter 2 and the rest of this book, there's almost this vulnerability that Paul's having. You know, like Paul is not holding back his feelings. He's sharing who he is, why he did what he did. And I was remembering back to when I was, it's not my current co-leaders or my current house church, but when I was leading another house church, there seemed to be this block in my house church. Like we couldn't, like we were really fun together. We laughed a lot. When it met at my house, it'd be like 11 o'clock at night. You know, I had to be at work by 7:30. They would still be in my living room. I would just go to bed and close the door and let them carry on. And then they would make, it was a village house. So then they would carry on outside and I could hear them. Like, I can still hear you. Like we really liked each other, you know, but there was no sense of depth. We weren't willing to go deep. And I was talking with my co-leader at the time, and we really started to self-reflect, and we realized it's because we weren't being vulnerable with our group. Like, we were holding back. And there's the fine balance as a leader, right? You don't share everything. But we weren't being vulnerable with ourselves with them at all. And so one week, the two of us were like, all right, we challenged each other to be vulnerable, and it was like the floodgates opened, and it never stopped for the rest of the time I was leading that group, right? Our willingness, here Paul is willing to give his life, to spend time with them, to be real with them, and here it came, you know? And then we started spending, you know, more than just Wednesday nights. Like, we loved each other on Wednesdays, but our relationship didn't go much beyond that. Right, and now then we started to expand and really wanting to spend time with each other and do life together. And I really, you know, I mean, I can't say 100% that's what Paul is talking about when giving life, but that's kind of where God was leading me as I was preparing for this. And the last thing I want to share is Paul gave up his right to be supported by this particular church. We don't want to get confused and start telling missionaries and church workers and pointing to verse 9 saying, you know, I didn't take anything from you. I worked night and day so I wouldn't be a burden, right? We don't want to become people that look at that portion of scripture as like, well, why are you being a burden to us missionaries? You know, like, why should we be giving money to missionaries? We should be giving money to missionaries. That is what we should be doing. But here, and we see other parts in scripture, Paul talks about taking money from churches, being supported by people. So clearly Paul doesn't mean in all circumstances, you don't take, you don't receive, you don't enjoy what the people are giving. But in this specific church, Paul was exceptionally careful. He was exceptionally careful to take because of what was going on in this city. The fact that you had false religions there where missionaries would come from, not Christian missionaries, but from these false religions, and they would basically preach whatever their message was so they could take from the people. And that's what they were used to. I talked about this last week, how it was a center for culture, a center for trade. People from around the world were living there, and people were becoming jaded. He was being mocked. People were talking all this bad about Paul. He's like, look, I didn't become a burden to you. I worked day and night, right? I can't say he didn't take any money. He didn't list that. But that idea that he was very discerning on what the needs for this people were. He was very discerning on being careful not to go beyond his means to lead them astray. He saw what the others were doing. You know, it reminded my sister-in-law was sharing a story about how in the churches in Cameroon, and not all churches. Like, she went to a church where the pastor actually works in a government. He takes no money from the church. A very similar feel to this. Right, he's an aide, high up aide. When I was having visa issues, my brother's like, "Don't worry, I have a friend in government. Just drop his name. If you don't have a visa, you'll still get into the country. He'll be there to meet you." That kind of guy, right? But like, wonderful family. They had me over, and they huge house, like one of the biggest houses I saw there. Nice cars, but he takes zero from the church. In fact, all the money pretty much still going into the church is coming from them. But she was saying that is needed because you have another set of churches in the community where the pastor has to have the nicest car and the nicest house. And if you want to get prayed for, you have to pay money. If you're sick and you want to come to the pastor, you better give an offering first, right? And it comes out of a culture where out of the religions, the witch doctors, all of that, that's what happens. And so their pastor was trying to be so different to set a standard, to set himself apart, not to boast himself up, but that they would really see God's love, you know? And so we have to be incredibly discerning of the needs of the people we're ministering to, you know, ministering and understanding their needs. And you may behave one way in one place and completely different somewhere else. When I lived in New Mexico, it was just 4 months, 5 months. And in that time, I was turning 21. So in the United States, turning 21 is a big deal because you legally can drink. We won't talk about what you could do before that. You're still drinking. But you can now legally buy alcohol, right? But alcoholism is so prevalent in the Native American culture. It's terrible. Like, actually, the Navajos have a law that you can't sell alcohol on their land. But you always know where their land starts because that's where the convenience stores are located. Because it's not illegal to have alcohol on the reservation, on their land. You just can't sell it. Right? And it's one of the ways they're trying to help combat this disease. Right? So when we went down there, we were basically told, because we had people who were over 21, some of us younger than 21, and the rule was, you don't drink down here. You need to be different. Because the kids that we were working with, this is a small town, like less than 30,000 people in this town called Gallup. And then there's like not much for 2 hours in all directions, right? It's 30,000. And then we were technically in a small town, okay? Here we go, ready? Of 60 people. which was surrounded by Gallup, right? So you were a small town of 60 people. We added the population to about 80 while we were there for 5 months, surrounded by Gallup. And we weren't allowed to buy. You know, in Walmart, it was chained off. It was in a glass room, and you had to show ID even to get into the section. That's how bad it is. You know, it wasn't that we were told you couldn't drink in life, but when we were there, it was a no-go because we needed to remember the people we were serving. You know, and so as you go on missions and as you're doing stuff, you got to remember what is going to be life-changing for them. It's not about what your rights are, your desires, but what will be the way that you can be light. And so as Paul, you know, is sharing his life and his heart for them and his desire that they don't get misled by other people, he becomes vulnerable. So as I ask Pete Andrew to come up and lead worship, I want you to think this morning, are you willing to give your life for what God has called you to do? Not necessarily give up your life physically, but are you willing to pour your life into the areas that God has called you to? You know, and if you're not, that's okay for now, but maybe spend some time talking to God. Why is it that you're holding back? What is it that is causing you from giving your all to people, to Him, to the church, to this world? So let's just spend some time worshiping and reflecting on that. Thank you. So God, we just thank you, Lord, that you ultimately gave up your entire life for us, God, that you are the example, Lord, that we can look to, Lord, but also that there are other people that have come after you, Lord, that have also given us examples of how to walk in your ways. And so, God, I pray, Lord, as we sit here today, God, as we come before you in prayer, Lord, that you will take off the burdens, Lord, that we will take on your yoke, God, that you will help cultivate in us a desire to love you and love others, God, more and more each day. And so, God, we just ask that you'll give us a true spirit of love, a true spirit of connection, Lord, and that we can follow in Paul's example, Lord, in your ultimate example. So, God, we just thank you. If we can turn to our prayer focus. Just before we do that, though, let's just spend a moment thanking God for what he's done this week for us in our lives. Lift up those who are going through cancer, who are suffering from various types of cancer, also going through chemo, radiation therapy, and recovering from surgery. Let's just pray for God's healing hand in their life, his peace. And let's just pray for their community around them to be supported as they go and just give their life to these people as well. Pray for those who are suffering from various different illnesses, but also need God as their saviors. Let's just pray that for both their physical healing, but also their spiritual healing, that their eyes will become open to God's goodness and love, and that they will just embrace who God is in their to them. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's just continue to seek God's healing in their life. Pray for those who are seeking jobs. Let's just pray for open doors. Let's just pray for patience, and let's just pray for provision as in this season of waiting. Thank you. turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up SP Singapore, the whole city of Singapore. Let's pray for P, Sam, Kim, Annie, their family. Let's pray for Indonesia, Spin, P. Salamat, his entire family. Let's pray for the Philippines, Bill, Ernie, and his family, and the USA, SP New York, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. They're also starting to really prep for their retreat at the end of the month. So let's just lift up these four church plants. Let's really pray for God's provision. Let's pray for God's just hand in each of these leaders' lives. And yeah, let's just pray for continued growth spiritually amongst these communities. Lift up our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's just really pray for solid foundations for our kids, for our students, as they go from childhood to adulthood. Let's really just pray that they truly come to know and love God from a very young age, and they cultivate a mature relationship with Him and others. Let's lift up our prayer, healing, and IP, our ministries, IP, The Well, and River, led by Matt and Rachel. Let's just really pray for just God's Spirit to lead and guide them. Let's just pray for energy and strength and wisdom for Matt and Rachel as they lead these teams. And let's just really continue to lift up our ministers. Lift up our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homie. Let's just really pray for continued building of relationships. Let's pray that we can really just give our lives, those who are serving and those of us who aren't, to, you know, really just seek and find out if God is calling us to serve here. And let's just pray that we can truly be a light in this city. Finally, let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's lift up this city. Let's lift up just our government officials, our police officers, the protesters. Let's just pray for God to bring peace and healing. And that God will just bring restoration to this city right now. Thank you. So God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the love that you've poured out on us, God, that you've given us. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do. And we ask today, God, as we go about our day, God, that our spirits will just remain connected to yours, Lord, that your spirit will guide us, fill us up, that your spirit will open our eyes to see what's going on around us, God, and that your spirit will really just give us peace and strength and endurance for today. God, may we just be your vessels. May we be your light. May we be salt in this city, God. And we just pray for a day that we glorify you. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time and hope to see you here tomorrow morning.